Good morning, Candy Springs. How are you guys doing today? Fantastic. You know what? I think it's about 10 degrees cooler right in this spot, so I feel pretty good. You know, every time I watch that video, those videos we showed those for the last couple of weeks, this is always my thought. I am so glad that nobody is audio recording my home. Anybody? Well, and everyone was impressed with me. I had a lot of power in those days. I had 2,000 employees, and all of them looked up to me or were afraid of me. Money was all I really cared about. I had 3 wives at 3 different times, all of whom left me because of neglect or because he caught me in one of my many affairs. I have 1 daughter, but she refuses to speak to me. And then he paused to see if I was judging him. I wasn't. He continued, I suppose you could say, I have ruined my life because today I have nothing. Oh, I have plenty of money, more than I could ever spend. But that brings me no joy. I sit here each day waiting to die. I cared about no one in life, and no one cares for me. You, young man, are all I have. You know, it's interesting, I read that story, and looking at that man's life, he would be the guy. If we saw him in his prime, we'd think, that guy's made it. That guy's done it. We'd want to sit down and have lunch and learn his business secrets. Everything about him, his money, his car, how he dressed, how he carried himself, says success. But the reality is, he climbed the corporate ladder only to realize that his ladder was leaning up against the wrong building. How can we, as people, spend our time and end up in blessing? How can we make sure that we spend our time and we don't end up like Ben, hunting for something that simply doesn't matter? Well, there's one place in the Bible that uses the word blessed more often than any other place. It's Matthew chapter 5. If you have your Bible, why don't you open it up to Matthew chapter 5. And I would encourage you, bring your Bible every week. And if you could, bring a paper one. That way you can highlight it, you can underline it, you can write in the columns. That way if you hear anything that God speaks to you, you have it later. You can look into it. If you don't, we've got a couple Bibles in the back. You can grab those and take those on your way out if you need one. This chapter is known as the Sermon on the Mount. It is Jesus' very first sermon, and most people who study the Bible believe this, that Jesus didn't give this one time, that everywhere Jesus went, he gave this sermon. In fact, really, if you look at the Bible, it's really the only sermon that he ever gives. He gives a lot of illustrations, he talks, he answers questions, he gives some parables, but as far as the sermon goes, this is it, and he gave it over and over and over again. It's pretty important. It's so important that when I was 12 years old, first youth group I ever went to, my youth pastor challenged me to memorize this chapter. And I'm thinking, wow, sounds great. You know, because I'm thinking some chapters of the Bible, you know, 5-8 verses. Did you see how many verses are in Matthew 5? 48. So they'll give you $20 if you memorize them. So, well, $20 is big back then, so I memorized the whole chapter of Matthew 5, and I got that $20. In fact, I'm going to throw that out to you today. If you memorize it, I'll give you $20. How's that sound? Pretty important. But Matthew 5 also is one of the most misinterpreted chapters in the whole Bible. And there are certain aspects that I think that you and I need to understand if we're really going to understand what this is all about. We're going to start here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to read through the first 12 verses. You ready? Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they'll be filled. Blessed are the merciful, they'll be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, they'll see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, they'll be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you falsely, say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, those are fantastic verses, and a lot of times we just look at that as this Christian to-do list. I need to do this, 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 this. And we miss the point of these verses. And then we miss it in a couple ways. And to understand what Jesus is really trying to say, there's a couple words we have to understand. The first is this, the kingdom of God. If you have your Bible, underline that, because that's what this passage and really the next three chapters of the Bible are all about. Now, I don't know if you listen to a lot of different, you know, messages. You guys hear me every week, or you listen to messages online, because I'm not there with you and you need to settle for listening to somebody else. But you almost never hear pastors talking about the kingdom of God. But Jesus talked almost exclusively in those words. And it's like almost every illustration that Jesus gives, he says this. The kingdom of God is like yeast, and the kingdom of God is like a field, and the kingdom of God is like a hidden treasure. The kingdom of God is like a fishing net. The kingdom of God is like a wedding banquet. The kingdom of God is like a landowner who owned a field. The kingdom of God, all of this is about the kingdom of God. Now, when we think of the kingdom of God, we think, well, okay, I become a Christian, and then God allows me that when I die, I'll go to the kingdom of God, and I'll spend eternity with him. Right? This is sort of the way that we think. Let me ask you a question. Why would Jesus talk all about the kingdom of God over and over and over and over and over and over again if that's if the only reason is because when you die, you'll go there? Jesus isn't saying, hey, the kingdom of God is some future reality that you'll get to someday. What he is saying is, I'm here, and I'm starting the kingdom of God, and it begins now. It begins right now. You don't have to wait. This kingdom living, this different way to live life, it can start right here. Now, the reality is, it won't reach its fullness until Jesus comes back and, you know, he puts our bodies right and he puts the world right and it's, you know, 72 degrees again in San Diego, you know. That's when it'll reach its fullness. But it's already started. Now, I'm a perfect example of this because there are some times when I'm really following that kingdom and I'm really listening to what God says, and I've been challenging you guys to read all day, every day, whenever you can, grab that Bible, pull it in your lap and read it. And there are times when I do that. But there are other times that I'm not living for the kingdom of God. I'm living strictly for the kingdom of Jack. I told you a couple of weeks ago that one of the reasons why I think we're ungrateful people is because we have learned as Americans that the customer is always right. And that I deserve to be treated a certain way. And when we deserve to be treated a certain way, we just think that everything should cater to us, right? And we become these entitled people. I gave that message a couple weeks ago. I gave that message on a Sunday. On a Tuesday, I walked into McDonald's. Now, all I wanted to do at that McDonald's was walk in, buy two large drinks for my wife and I, and then leave. And as I am standing in line, I walk in, there's only one person in line. I go, wow, this is fantastic. Only one person, this is going to be great. I'll go in and out, it'll all be awesome. Well, she is standing there, staring at the menu. Like McDonald's is offering something new. She can't figure out what she wants to order. And I noticed that behind the counter, all these people are wandering around and they're not doing anything. And nobody's making eye contact with me and nobody's coming over to open up a new cash register so that they can take her. Nobody's even looking at making eye contact with me. They got their heads down and I'm thinking, just at least look at me. Jack is here. You know, I know that that's an entitled way to live, and I try to stay patient in those moments, but there are times when I just live for me. Now, look, the kingdom of God is not in its fullness. That's yet to come. But we can bring the kingdom of God here. We can allow God into our lives and a part of the kingdom of God so that your house is different. We're constantly told things like, you know, buy more stuff to be happy and drink this to be happy, and you need to pursue this and run harder or work faster and look at this and click on these websites over and over and over. We need to bring in a new way of looking at life if we want to be blessed. We got to bring God's kingdom into our life. Now, that's the first way that I think we can reach blessing, is to invite God's kingdom into your house. Let me point you to one of the most famous verses in the Bible when it comes to family. You probably heard it. Let me put it up on the screen for you real quick. So in Joshua 24, there's lots of backstory to this. I'm not going to tell any of that. But Joshua is saying this: if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods of your ancestors beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, lots of great wisdom in this. I just want you to look at one line, okay? Choose for yourselves this day. This day, choose. Because there are lots of people in this room, and you look at your family and the history that you have and the way your parents are, even the way your marriage is working or the way you're parenting your kids now, and go, man, I've made so many mistakes. Look, all God is asking you to do is choose on this day. This day, I'm going to invite God into my house. This day, we're going to live for Jesus. This day, I'm going to roll around on the ground with my kids. This day, I'm going to take care of my older kids. I'm going to pray for them. This day, that's all you have to do. You don't have to worry about the future. You don't have to worry about the past. You just have to focus on this day. I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he is in a season where he is working 70, 80 hours a week, and his business is booming. It's in the top 10 growing businesses in San Diego. He's doing really well, but it's just a season, and he knows it. He knows he needs to get out of it. But this is the commitment that he's made, is that even though he's working 11, 12 hours a day, when he comes home, his first 2 hours are rolling around on the ground with his children, no matter how tired he is. And in that moment, he's choosing, this day. You know, I got older kids. You know, you guys, you know, if you have younger kids, it's awesome, and you walk in the door and they rush and they wrap themselves around your legs. 14-year-olds don't do that. In fact, a lot of times when they're older, they don't even want to talk to you. They'd much rather talk to somebody else. In that moment, I have to choose. And sometimes it just means taking advantage of a moment when they open up. And sometimes it means as they are sitting there quietly and we're driving someplace, I am simply praying for them and praying for their lives. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. It doesn't matter if your kids are grown. It doesn't matter if you've hurt them and you think, I could never repair that relationship. Choose this day to start letting that kingdom come in. Because this God of the universe can transform your families. That's the first way to be blessed. Well, I want to actually give you something on the way out. It's a family activity sheet. And it has a bunch, I'm not sure, let's see, it doesn't say how many, different ways that you can pour into your kids, spend time with as families, do something fun together. Grab one of these on your way out. Just give you a way to invite the kingdom into your house today, all right? So grab this. Those are for you on the way out. Now, let me look at, we're going to look at another misconception about this passage. You know, it says over and over, you'll be blessed, 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 blessed. Who even talks like that anymore? I mean, do you even use those words? If you use those words, you're probably more spiritual than I am. Now, when we look at that word blessed, a lot of people define that as happy. But you know what? I don't think happy is a good word for that, because happy is basically joy based on what's happening, right? Just whatever is happening right now, I mean, that's where it comes from. The actual word comes from that. Just whatever makes you happy, whatever is in the moment. A better way to define that word would be this: someone you would consider well off. When you look at that verse in the original language, that's the best way to define that verse. And then you read this: Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Honestly, does that sound like blessed to you? I mean, look at the first one. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Do you know what the poor in spirit means? Do you know what that means, that phrase means? Let me make it, it's really complicated. You know what it means? It means poor. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus says the same thing, and he doesn't say poor in spirit. He says, blessed are the poor, the people who don't have anything, the people that can't even feed themselves. And these people are so poor, they're not just poor, they're poor in spirit. A great word to use would be beleaguered. What do you mean? How is somebody like that blessed? Next, it says, blessed are those who mourn. People who mourn would be people who are undergone great loss, overcoming grief. And we know people like this. They've lost somebody. They were in a marriage and it's gone. Or they have a kid and they're estranged from their kid and they're not even talking to him anymore. They've experienced, even worse yet, they've experienced a loss, a death. And so you just have this great sense of mourning. How is that blessed? That doesn't seem like blessed. The next one says, blessed are the meek. And the meek is from a Greek word, and the word is pros, and it refers to those people that cannot retaliate when harmed. When they are picked on, when they are sued, when people want to take their money, they have no legal recourse. That's what that means. How in the world is that considered blessed? When I was in junior high, we looked at this list. This is Christian to-do list. I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do that. That's not what Jesus is talking about. You know what Jesus is saying when he says these statements? Jesus is saying, you're welcome here. I don't care where you're coming from, what heartbreak you've experienced, how poor you are. You're welcome here. Because when Jesus lived, this is how you were considered blessed, okay? In Jesus' day, first, only Jewish people. Secondly, only Jewish men. Women were definitely second class. Third, the recipients of the kingdom were keepers of the law. Well, they were kosher. Not only did they follow the Bible, they followed all these other laws. Fourth, the kingdom can only be entered by those people whose bodies were right. So if you were handicapped or lame, you weren't considered blessed at all. And lastly, the poor were abandoned by God. So if you were poor, you didn't work in this system of religion. And what Jesus is saying is, look, it doesn't matter how much money you have, how much you've been beaten up, how much you've been pushed aside, how much your station in life has been discounted. This kingdom, this is for you. Now, I can't think of a greater statement to say to the people in our lives than that. You are welcome. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what your past looks like, no matter how different you are than me, this is a place for you. And we've got to be saying it in our families, and we've got to be saying it with our friends, we've got to be saying it in our workplace. Because the reality is people are all very different than us, aren't they? Okay, so my wife and I, when we got married, we were both youngest children, all right? They're not supposed to marry, because who's going to balance the checkbook? When two, any youngest people out here? Okay, but you guys, you don't know how to balance the checkbook, but these are the party people here, right? Yeah, can I hear it? But they're definitely not supposed to marry. So my wife and I got married, and you know what? When we had children, you want to know what our first child turned out to be? A firstborn. Rule following, legalistic firstborn. And it led to these crazy conversations we had. I remember when my son was in fifth grade, he was working like 50 hours a week. It was school and his homework, and it was so driven, it was ridiculous. And I got sick of this, and so I went to his teacher and says, man, he's working too hard. A fifth grader should not have to work a 50-hour week. And so she came back to me and says, okay, well, clearly he understands his math. So if he starts working on his math and he understands it, you can just sign it and he doesn't have to finish his math. And I'm thinking, wow, I just had the greatest conversation with this teacher. He's going to be so excited when I tell him this. So I come home and say, hey, Riley, check this out. You don't have to finish your math anymore. And he looks at me and he's, with this grimace on his face, he says, Dad, you can't make me not finish my math. Are you kidding me? Play a video game. Now, I know some of you are looking at me like, oh, yeah, poor pastor. That was the biggest thing he struggled with, this kid doing, had to do all his homework. Poor, poor guy. You know, that looks great when they're working on their homework. And my daughter was the same way. I'm going to rub it in a little bit more. She hasn't gotten a B since fifth grade. And when they get those kind of grades, you take them out to dinner and you applaud them for that kind of obsession. But when she's 17 years old and she starts to obsess about her food and loses 20 pounds, then they find themselves in the middle of an eating disorder. And you have to work through that too. Look, you know, you look throughout your family and everybody is so different. You know, my wife and I have different, very different ways of arguing. There's the right way and then there's her way. And my way is just to say everything, right? Just let it all out, and then I feel good. I got it all out in the open. And she wants to take it, and she wants to process it, and overthink it, and then come back and tell me how stupid I was. This is her way. You look throughout your families, and everybody has these irrational fears. We can't understand theirs, but we want them to understand ours. Look, the kingdom accepts everybody. That's who we are. We're different. I just look at our television set. I love it. Mine is filled with sports. Love sports. My wife watches just the dumbest things. There's this show she just started watching. Have any of you ladies ever heard of the show? It's on Netflix called Call the Midwife. Any of you ever heard of this show? I'm sorry I mentioned it in church because some of you ladies are going to start to watch it. You guys are going to be so angry. And I can put Call the Midwife down into about 20 seconds, okay? You ready? Here's Call the Midwife. It's all these women who are giving birth, and then the midwife comes in. This is Call the Midwife. That's it. You don't have to watch every episode. That's Call the Midwife. Just look at your families, and everybody is different. Look, it is our job. As a husband, my job as a husband is to study my wife and accept her for who she is. And your job as wives is to study your husband and learn to accept those irrational fears in his life. When Jesus talks about the kingdom, that's what he was saying, is you are all welcome. That's what our families need to be. Let me give you one last challenge. It's in verse 6. You know, we look at this list as kind of this to-do list. And the best way to look at this list is, all of these blessings, is to say, these are characteristics that will align you with God. And you can see it. If somebody's mourning, they call on God. If somebody's in a meek position, they need God. But there are other positive qualities that we need to seek, because that will align us with God. And here's one in verse 6. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled. Look with me at Psalm 63. I put it up here for you. This is a characteristic that God challenges all throughout the Bible. This is what you need to do. You, God, you're my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. That's what our goal is to be. Well, let me ask you a question, kind of personal. If somebody were to watch your life this last week, what would they say you are hungering and thirsting for? What are you driven by? Maybe it would sound like this. Work, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. Money, you're my God. Earnestly I seek you. My whole being longs for you. Fitness, you are my God. earnestly I seek you. Nobody would ever say those things out loud because they sound ridiculous. And here's why. When you seek those things in your life, they do not end in blessing, and they don't end in satisfaction. Okay, let me read you. I'm going to end like this. I'm going to read you the end of the story, all right? I ended up telling Ben that the only way to live was to follow Jesus. Jesus, he said, was brilliant. But he said it was too late for him. He messed up his life and was beyond redemption. I explained that redemption is God's favorite activity, regardless of age. During the rest of the summer, we met every day, and each session became more joyful. On the last day with him, he gave me a very special gift, a rare copy of a book he knew I loved. He also told me that he had decided to follow Jesus. He showed me a letter he had written to his daughter asking for forgiveness. The book was a great gift, but the best gift was the change I saw in his life. The last time I heard about Ben came when his daughter wrote me to tell me that he had died at the age of 88. She said they had reconciled, and Ben had come to a saving faith. She said he spent the last years a changed man. According to his daughter, Ben died a radiant death. It's never too late. It's never too late. I look back at my past and things that I did, and I wish I had done this better with my family. I wish I'd reached out more. I wish I'd been more present. I was always there, but you know how you can be there and not totally present? And all Jesus says is, redemption, that's my favorite thing. Choose this day. You want your family to be blessed? Choose this day. Let's pray. As we begin our prayer, I just want you to do this. Everybody bow your head, everybody close your eyes. I want to give you an opportunity to respond. And if you are choosing this day to bring blessing into your house, bring the kingdom into your house, just raise your hand. Nobody's going to look around, just raise your hand. Lord Jesus, I pray for these people that they would put you first, that you would enter into their homes, that you would break down barriers, that if marriages aren't working, that you would get involved. And if a kid is estranged, that you would join these people together and bring them back together. Lord God, whatever it is that is keeping these people apart, God, work in our favor. We are calling on you right now. Work on our behalf. We are choosing today to follow you. And God, I pray that these people, when they do that, they would have stories of redemption that just amaze us. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you are that God. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you guys for being here. Hey, we got three more of these.